Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV. We are kicking off the fourth quarter of the first 100 episodes. This is episode 76, and it's also 420 today. So yes. Happy 420 to everybody out there that celebrates in any which way they want to celebrate. One team is up in smoke lately.
Literally.
That is the New York Yankees, and they just can't get out of their own way, and it's what is going on. But for any of you that are just tuning in for the first time, we have a great episode in store for you. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. He is a diehard Yankee fan, and let's hear his thoughts on what the Yankees should be doing.
Mike, how you doing tonight, folks? How you doing tonight? Three better simple words. Blow it up. That's it. It's over. Done. Yankees are just a walking disaster. They have no life. Fire Boone, fire Cashman, just blow it up. It's just enough. But in all seriousness, they're just not playing well. They just seem like they're just lifeless, man. Like they just have no pep in their step. I don't know what it is. But look, you got to give it some time. It's only 15 games. But if within the next 10 games, nothing changes, and they're still this lackluster, you got to make a move. You got to change things up. You can't just let this keep going on. And so we'll wait and see. Right now, we were talking about it before we went on air. Bleacher Report has them ranked, what, 20th?
26th
in the
– out of 30 teams, mind you, for those people that don't know how many teams are in the MLB. That's not a good number to be in.
No, that's not a good number. That's pretty bad. And that tells you something. And I just think there's no fire in the team right now. I don't know if they're missing leadership or what the deal is on there, but it just seems like they're just flat, man. And they're – give them 10 more games, man. But if something doesn't change in the next 10 games, man, a change has got to be made.
You're not firing Boone. 25 games into a season.
I never wanted them.
What's the alternative?
Well, obviously now I wanted to keep Girardi back when they fired him. Listen, Brian Cashman knows he's been there for a while.
Well, the Phillies are in second place.
Yeah, there you go.
Squad that they got there.
He believed the Yankee hierarchy believed that analytics are the way to go, and you saw what a disaster that turned out to in the playoffs last year. So.
Yeah, well, it's just unbelievable how much the Rays just own the Yankees.
Yeah, they're afraid of them. Right? But something's got to be done. Meanwhile, your beloved Mets, DeGrom out there throwing darts, and they can't.
He's throwing 14 Ks in 7-inning games, and actually that was only in 6 innings. So that's just unfathomable. Yeah. 9 straight strikeouts, and it's just. The guy is on fire. I think he's got like a 0.45 ERA, and the dude's still 1-1.
Yeah.
And I think he's got like a 4-something on base percentage, which is
absolutely,
like,
it's crazy.
Unbelievable. But they just can't get him run support on the days that he pitches.
And the thing is that the Mets have a nice
frustrating.
Lineup. Yeah. And they have a good lineup.
They do. Lindor's coming into his own a little bit. So he's contributing. He had that game-winning single over the weekend. He had the game-winning, caught stealing on the tag Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, rather.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the whole Yankees not having leadership. Lindor, if anything, is bringing some type of just energy and leadership to that team. Who did the Yankees really bring in? Who is that de facto captain or leader on that team? Yeah, Gardner's been there a century, but
he should be Judge, but he's always hurt. Stanton,
that's what I'm saying. Judge is always hurt.
Like that whole team is hurt. You know,
he's always hurt. He strikes out a lot. Stanton just can't hit the side of a barn half the time.
Correct.
And Hicks isn't doing them any favors. Garrett Cole's worth every single penny that they paid for him.
Yeah, but Talion stinks.
But
what's his name has been a bust. Corey Kluber has been a bust. So
Cole,
and that's it.
And it's cold from there. No diamonds.
Yeah.
No diamonds.
So we'll wait and see. But look, it's, again, early in the year, but they got 10 games to turn this thing around. If they don't, they got to make changes. Meanwhile, there's a team in Madison Square Garden right now up 7 against the Hornets. And it's called my beloved New York Knicks. And this is my Obi Toppin jersey. And Thibodeau, once you get home and you watch this show, you need to stop parking Obi in the front row drinking a beer. You got to have him slash into the basket. You have to have him posting up. Instead of shooting threes, that's not his game. But the Knicks have won 6 in a row. They're going for 7 in a row tonight. I've worn this jersey every time they've won. It's my Obi jersey. I have not changed it since they've won. So I will keep wearing it until they lose. And right now they're looking good. They're up 9 in the third quarter. So good for them. We were talking about Steph Curry before the show. I mean, this guy is incredible, man. 11 30-point games, hitting threes from like outside of the buildings. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. The guy's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that hook shot the other night was just unbelievable. I saw that on the highlights, and I was like, Jesus, this guy is just – he's just on fire. He makes every shot that he has gold. And so it's definitely fun to watch him play.
It is, and we would be remiss. Obviously, this is a sports show, and we talk sports, want to have fun, but obviously the events of today with the Derek Chauvin trial, he's guilty – and the good riddance, let him rot in hell, let him rot in jail for the rest of his life over there for what he did. And there's some justice done in this world. So it hopefully we can sort of move on and get a sense of calm in the country. And justice has been done.
Yeah, it was a long process. It ruling came down today that he's been ruled guilty. And we could start to move in that right direction, hopefully. And it's interesting that it came on 420. It's an interesting day. But nevertheless, the sports world has been very vocal about it all day today.
Mm-hmm. And you know, listen, all the celebrity, LeBron and Patrick Mahomes. And
everybody.
All the teams and organizations, everybody came out to support what happened today. And rightfully so. The guy murdered the guy in plain daylight. It was disgusting. It was horrific. And so, rot in hell.
Yeah, there's no excuses. All right. Yeah. So, for those of you...
Oh, one more thing, sorry. I have to give a shout-out to my friend John Bahanias. He's having a baby. We don't know if it's a boy or girl yet, so shout-out to John. Congratulations, having a baby. Keep tuning into the show.
Congratulations, John. So for those of you just joining us, Fan Experience TV is presented by Playing the Field. And Playing the Field is a sports-themed matchmaking service that helps you find sports fans for friendship, game buddies, teammates, or to find your MVP or a romantic partner. So without further ado, I would like to introduce the first team behind Playing the Field and all the marketing that you have seen over the last 3 months. And please help us in welcoming these very fine, you know, individuals and hardworking. Right now, we're gonna be joined by Emily, Logan, Kim, and Tanner. You've seen before, but he is back on the show. And everyone else, welcome to Fan Experience TV. It is a pleasure to have all of you on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Mike.
Absolutely. Not a problem. So we start off pretty much every interview that we have on here with asking the guests, you know, how they develop a love of sports. So I guess maybe Emily, if you want to start it off, because you were our first, you really got that ball rolling on the internship, because we met in November and you were the first one on board when we started this in January. So where were you born and raised and where your team affiliations and how you grew to love sports, whether it was a fan playing, just, you know, tell us all about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hi, everyone. My name is Emily Cugino, and I am from Erie, Michigan. It's a little small town outside of Toledo, Ohio, right on the border. So, anyways, I think that my love for sports grew from, it was kind of really just a way for me and my family to bond. So, I was 4 years old, and my mom was a volleyball coach. And so, I would always want to play with my older sisters. I'm 4 years old. They're 10. They're in their leagues. And here I am trying to bump the balls to all the girls so I could just play. And so that was really fun. No, it wasn't good at all, but I was just trying to have fun with it. And so then, other than that, I definitely grew a love for sports through playing ball. My dad is a really big softball fan. So I would always, he coached my sister actually. So I would sit on the sidelines and watch him and then help out where I could. And then it grew into me wanting to play. And so from there, it was just like my love for sports grew. And then I would always grow up and go to the Toledo Mud Hens. And so it's kind of cool, actually, because it's coming full circle now. And I get to actually work for them this summer. But that's where it all grew, too, is like watching my favorite players play on the field. And then just it was there's nothing like it.
Yeah, no, that's great. And really is that bonding factor is so huge when it comes to that. And it doesn't matter how good you are or whatever, as long as you're having fun. That's really all that matters at the end of the day.
Right.
But congratulations on that Toledo Mud Hens. We'll talk about it a little bit more later in the show as well. Any volunteers on who wants to kick it off next? Birthday boy.
Sure. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Logan. For everyone out there, happy birthday.
Thank you. So my name is Logan Agaloff, and I grew up on Long Island, New York, in Bayport, small town. And my love of sports came from, well, I have three older sisters, and they all played softball. And I used to go to their high school games, and I used to go to their practices, and they used to throw around with me. And from then on, I had that love of baseball and sports. And my uncle took me to my first Mets game at Shea Stadium in 2007. So I don't remember much of it, but it was a good experience. And then from then on, I've always been a diehard Mets fan.
Yeah, I mean, we got the DeGrom jersey, and he's just lighting it up lately. He's one of the best ones to wear that uniform over recent years, for sure. Yeah. All right. So, do you want to add something?
So, Kimberly, I want to get to Kimberly. Welcome to the show. So, Kimberly, I know we're talking about love of sports, but what made you want to get into the business side of sports? You guys are all talented. You're all grateful. If you can just share with our viewers, what made you want to get into that side of the sports?
Well, I'm kind of opposite of Logan. So I grew up with three older brothers. So it was always, and my mom actually played basketball in college. So I was just like always involved in sports. All through middle school, high school, I was all year round, three sport athlete. I kind of never stopped. So I knew once I got to college, I started taking certain classes. Mm-hmm. I took a sports media class and sports broadcasting. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life when I don't have sports. So I need to stay involved in sports. And then I connected with Mike and I was like, this is perfect. This is how I'm going to stay connected.
Yeah, that's great. And our good friend Tanner Johnson, last but not least, our resident hockey guru over here, Tanner. Tell our viewers how you sort of, I guess, found hockey and tell us about your passion there.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, I grew up in Jackson, Wyoming, which is a smaller town in the mountains. And so sports, at first, like the first thing that we're really thrown into is skiing. And so we've always been, the town is more of an athletic town just in that sense, but it's not in the normal sports realm that everybody kind of knows. And so I really got into skiing probably right when I was starting to learn how to walk. My dad got me on skis before anything else. And so that was really the first thing. And really actually what got me into sports was the ski hill that I grew up on. At the bottom of the ski hill was a hockey rink. And one of the nights we would go night skiing every Tuesday night. That was like his favorite thing to do after work was take me to go night skiing. And we one night went in, they had this sign that said there was some hot chocolate in there. And I was like, geez, maybe six. And we go in there and the midget team, which is the high school team, was playing. And it was the fastest game I had ever watched in my life. It was the most intense thing I had ever watched. And it was just practice. But I was so young. It was so insane. My dad had never really, he was a football player in high school. He grew up in Ohio. And so that was his big sport. He had never watched hockey, been into hockey at all. And he was mesmerized by the whole thing too. And I basically looked up to him after that. And I was like, this is what I'm doing. I want to do this. This is the coolest thing I've ever. And the next week he threw me into to hockey and I started playing. And I don't know, the second that you get on any type of team, I just think the commodity between the boys and just everything that you got going on with everybody gets you into every other sport. And so before I knew it, I was playing football and then we were playing basketball and then we were playing baseball and you're just getting into all these different sports. And so I think that at first it was just like by coincidence how I got into the mainstream sports aspect of my life. And then from there, it was just really the friendships that you grow within sports. I think that's what really brought me to where I had been and where I continue to kind of be is just the people who are involved in sports to me are some of the best people that I've ever been around. I've never been around a greater group of people than the people that I had grown up with in the hockey locker room in Jackson and in Minnesota when I was playing up there. And so I think that just brings me to the side of sports as far as business goes too, is I've always had a business mind. And I think that it's the same thing in the business world too, sports. Everybody who's in the business, there's a reason that they're in the business of sports, because they have a love for it too. And they were all on teams when they were growing up. And so I think that having those same types of people around you that you had when you were growing up, it's a great thing. So that's really my big thing with sports.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. The camaraderie and just the bonding, and that just, it's the mindset that just brings everyone back together. Obviously, I didn't know any of you from a hole in the wall, but then we started, you know, talking when it came down to talking about sports. And then obviously you guys were very driven and wanted to work in the industry and work in sports in some capacity. And it's been a pleasure having each one of you on. But Emily, you go to pretty well-established sports management school. I think there was some really notable players that came out of there too. I can't remember his name. It's escaping me right now. But tell us more about why you chose to go to the University of Michigan. Oh yeah, Tom Brady. That was his name.
Oh yeah.
Tom Brady. How could you forget? Come on. So actually it's a funny story. I was dead set that I was gonna go to Michigan State. And yeah, now looking back, it's all geez. But so pretty much what happened was I toured the campus of Michigan State and I was like, this is great. And then my dad has always been a Wolverines fan. So he's, let's just go check it out. Let's look. You don't have to make any commitments. And so actually we went and we toured the campus, and I remember my dad showed me all of these awesome places. So we walked to the stadium. We walked literally, I think I walked 6 miles that day. We were just walking everywhere. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot. But actually in the end, I was like, I like this campus a lot. And then they actually offered me a scholarship to, aside with just the name of the University of Michigan, and a few of my friends were going there. So it was kind of just, that's it for me. And honestly, I can say I don't regret my decision at all. I've had the best time. So
that's awesome. Logan, tell us a little bit about where you go to school. Tell everyone where you go to school and what made you want to go into that sports management field.
So yeah, I'm a senior at Roger Williams University. It's a college in Rhode Island, about a half hour from Newport. And I've always had a love for sports growing up. And in high school, I actually took a sports marketing class. Before that class, I was unsure of what I wanted to do, what field. I knew I wanted business. But once I took that sports marketing class, it solidified it for me that I definitely wanted to be associated in some way with sports in my career. And once I connected with you, Mike, I thought that this is a great fit and a great starting point for me.
Nice. I wanted to throw something at all of you and whoever wants to go first. What, obviously, we had the pandemic going on. We still have it. But how did you guys deal with not having sports? Because I know for me, it was like restless nights, nothing to do. I was like, I can't watch any Netflix anymore. So what did you guys do between like March when the world shut down and like when The Last Dance came out? And then finally we had some, I think it was basketball that first came back or whatever, or baseball, whatever it was. Like, how did you guys deal with that, not having any sports?
I
remember, like I said, my mom was a college athlete, and she's probably like one of the biggest sports advocates in my family. Yeah. Because I always think back to this time we were in Cancun and we were sitting at some bar. This was just pre-COVID, and some guy started talking about my mom's a huge Michigan State fan.
Ah.
And he started saying, he started saying certain things, and my mom all of a sudden just pulled out all these statistics about Michigan State. The guy ended up leaving the bar. I was like, oh my God, this is so, but that's kind of what my mom almost made us watch replays of games. She would be like, hey, they put it on anyway, like the Yankees encore games or something like that. They'd be like, oh, we'll just watch it. It'll make us feel better. I was like, okay, I guess so. So I probably know way too many replay games just because we started watching them. But also my family's just huge college basketball. So March Madness, the first Friday, is like a really big deal. My family calls it High Holy Day. We just all hang out all day, watch all the games. And that was probably the biggest upset of COVID, like not having that March Madness Friday. Yeah. That was so sad for everyone. But we did the best we could, and we were happy to have it this year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Whoever, anybody else wants to take that, go ahead.
Yeah. I will piggyback off of Kim. Actually, my dad made us watch all the reruns. We were back to like the 70s and we're just keeping going because he's bored. So that's kind of what gave me my sports. And then aside from that, it was cold, but we were outside. Like, we live on a lake, so we were outside playing ice hockey. I got to say, I'm not that good at it, but it kept me entertained for a while. So
I've always wanted to play ice hockey on a lake. I'm not going to lie. That is definitely something I want to try.
When she said that, I was thinking about the Mighty Ducks and Gordon Bombay going with the,
Who's been watching the Mighty Ducks TV show? Yeah. Show of hands.
No, I haven't. I haven't looked into it, actually.
No? Nobody?
No.
Oh, man.
No. That's good. We're watching sports. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's true. It's nice. It's a nice us back on. Yeah. No doubt. I remember the night that it all kind of happened. We were watching – I, at the time, was living in a house with six guys, and, like, all we would do is we had a basement with five TVs in it, and we would do, like, a bunch of just sports betting between the house and some other people, and it all kind of had shut down at one point, and I remember multiple roommates that I was, you know, good buddies with, they all just kind of look at each other, like, what are we going to do? They literally, we had no idea what we were going to do, and there was a lot of replays. A lot of nothing. There was a lot of sadness. A lot of sadness in the house. Yeah. That's basically the only way to go about it.
Yeah, well, when the sports world goes on hiatus, you got to start sports betting for ESPN 8, the Ocho, an obscure sports quarterly. And what was it? What did they have? The cornhole tournament?
Yeah, that's what they do when you want
stuff. That's when you know. It's
those guys
bad.
Are insane. Like, they're really good at
cornhole. But for real, though, they are. Like, they got some crazy shots. Logan, you want to take the last batch there?
To go off that, I remember me and my friends, we used to, like, we bet on sports all the time. But once the shutdown happened, we started making prop bets on, like, random stuff, like the weather. There was one about the president election, like, who wins what states. There were all these types of prop bets. And I thought that was interesting. And then when, like, the UFC finally came back on Fight Island, that was finally the real first sport to watch again. So that was really cool. But yeah, it was a fun experience that I probably won't do again with the prop betting.
Yeah.
You can only watch so many replays and just try to figure out so many different things that you can do to occupy your time. It's a huge void. Think about it. Basketball on pretty much every night. It's gone. Baseball, 162 games, zilch, nothing until the end of July. It's just, it's crazy to think that we went through so many months of nothing. We got through it. Everything is trending upwards and all the leagues are back. And NFL a lot of the NFL teams are predicting 100% capacity for the fall. So let's see what happens. So obviously we know everyone loves sports. They want to work in the industry. So what was the thing that drew you to playing the field initially? And anyone can go first.
I'll go first. So for me, my aunt, right out of college, worked with a lot of startup companies. And so kind of because I'm a senior at the University of Wyoming. And so I would say sophomore and junior years, I was starting to look for more like career type work after school. I would talk to her a lot and she was like, you should start to look at startup companies and companies that are really trying to kind of build their brand and build their presence in the digital market. Because that's really what kind of she took off with and really ran with. And so that was kind of the first thing in my head that really came to mind. And then when I saw you guys, we've talked a lot about it, Mike, but not only are you guys a startup that is heavily involved with something that was really involved in my life for a long time, but I also think that the playing the field idea in general is a great idea. And I think that there's a lot of momentum with it. And I think that there's a lot of ways that I think it could really make an impact in the digital market, especially in the world of dating apps. And so I looked at it as an outstanding opportunity for myself, but also I was hoping that I could maybe in any way possible help out with you guys to try and build this into something that you, Mike and Rick, had both dreamed it really to become. So I think that was really what drew me to it more than anything else.
Yeah. And you have helped tremendously. Really, there's a lot of different avenues in which you've really gone above and beyond. And I really put your best foot forward into pretty much everything that you were putting out there. So we definitely thank you from the bottom of our hearts, that, and especially buying into the vision as well. And that's really nice to hear. So thank you for all the help. Anybody else?
Yeah, I can go. So actually, I met you, Mike, through the Michigan Sport Business Conference. And until then, I had not heard of Playing the Field. But I remember scheduling our talk. And then I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to go look into this business, see what it's about. And then as I was looking through it, I was like, oh, this is definitely something that I could see myself working in. And so from there, that's when we had our meeting, and it was funny. I was kind of telling Mike, oh, you could do this and this to him. Okay, do you want to come?
She told me what it was. She told me how it was, for sure.
He's like, you want to come work for us or what? So from there, it was kind of like, it was definitely, I wanted to work for the team, and I'm really happy that I did. I feel like I've gained a lot of experience, and I've always heard like working for a startup is going to give you a lot more experience than working for a big business. And I feel like I have gained so much experience throughout this, like that I am so well versed in so many different avenues that now I know what I like and what I don't like, and I'm ready to just go into the world with it.
Good. That's great. What I wanted to get from you guys is, where did you get your amazing TikTok abilities, graphic designing, like all the stuff that, I mean, Michael texts me something and I'm like, Jesus Christ, who put this together? And he's like, Emily did, or Kimberly did, or Logan or Tanner. I'm like, my God, I was like, I stopped what I'm doing at work and I'm like, Jesus, why can't I think of this? So, I mean, where do you guys get, is it just natural stuff that you guys know how to do? You know, like the TikTok videos are great. But like in all the graphic stuff you do, so it's just like stuff that you guys know, or are you learning?
I think I could speak TikTok wise. I just know I'm on it probably for way too long every single day.
No, you're good.
And yeah, every time I see, and it's just kind of something that like once we went through the weeks and you realize you have to keep up with the trends, like you have to keep pushing out this content. As I'm watching TikTok, I'll just like something and be like, oh, that's a good content idea to push out next week. And then we can kind of share it with each other. We could pass it to Mike, see what he thinks, get each other's feedback, which is really cool too. But I think like me personally, I'm at Pace University, and like my department is just so great at helping us in our careers. And then I took that into the internship, and that really helped a lot.
That's great. Logan?
Yeah, that was a great aspect. Like I'm more familiar with Instagram and LinkedIn. So going into this, I really liked that this internship allowed me to get experience in all social media platforms. I had not used TikTok prior to this. That was a very interesting learning curve, but we had a couple posts that did pretty well. Yeah. And yeah, overall, that experience of all the platforms will be great as I enter into the career, my career beyond this. And I think it'll be really good.
Yeah. And what are some of the learning curves? And what are some of the things that you guys had learned that I wouldn't more than aware of, or like our viewers, to people who get into internships with startups or sports companies like that? What are some of the things that you had to overcome? That you're like, well, I've never done this before. Like, how do I do it? What were some of the challenges?
I think just the looser structure that's involved. And again, like talking with my aunt, she said that was going to be one of the first things that I run into. And it's a really a good thing. Like you get into any type of corporation, like what Emily had said earlier, there's so much more that we're doing, and it's such, you learn so much more. And so that's what's really been so great about this whole experience. And I think the loose structure allows that to happen. You're not so, when you're working, especially from an internship standpoint, when you're working in any type of corporation, it's amazing how limited you are in what you can do. And so, especially the larger the corporation. And so I think what was really awesome is that Mike gave us really creative freedom. And for incoming professionals into the business realm, having the creative freedom to kind of throw our ideas out and bounce it off of each other and bounce it directly off of Mike and really have ideas come to fruition just right there, and not having 15 levels of people to work through and having a very limited sheet of things that we're allowed to do or say. I just think that it gave us a better idea of where we stand from a creative standpoint and how we can kind of work to kind of build ourselves to be better creative minds ourselves in a looser structure that allowed us to do it.
Go ahead, Logan. I'm sorry.
To go off that, I really like the atmosphere and the culture that within this group, because if I have any questions, I could always text Mike, or Mike, and I know that I'd get an answer relatively soon. And I know I text Tanner a couple times, and I really like, because if we had any ideas or we were stuck on something, We were able to bounce ideas back and forth, which helped us brainstorm and think of more ideas and what do you think would work and different strategies. So I think that was really good.
Yeah. What I really took away from this group is the creativity that you guys had and like the stuff that you were doing. Again, I was just so blown away by your work. Just incredible. So thank you for everything. And whatever you guys do, I think you're going to do great. I'm glad you had the freedom to do it. Don't leave. You got to go. But I mean, if you could help us from time to time, that'd be great. So, you know, that'd be wonderful. Yeah,
we will certainly stay in touch with everyone. Yes. And I wanted to make sure that each one of you was able to take the most out of this internship that you possibly could. That's why I wanted to spread it out and have you guys focus on one platform at a time, so you didn't have to get overwhelmed. And especially in like Logan's case, he's never tried TikTok before, so it was pretty much like throwing him into the fire, but that's the only one he had to worry about. He didn't have to worry about Instagram and Twitter and all the other ones at that time because somebody else did. I do have to commend each and every one of you that working together, the collaboration between each other certainly helped open up doors creatively for each and every one of you. And even for myself, because until you guys came aboard, it was pretty much me focusing on what's this graphic going to be. And I was the only one touching it. And so it was like tunnel vision. But because you guys came aboard, I was able to take a step back, take more of a bird's eye view. And I ended up coming out with some more creative inspiration because of something that Emily might have done as far as a specific font that like really caught my eye. And then I incorporated it in other things. And Logan and Tanner and Kim, it was just every single one of you, you brought your own ideas to the table. And that's why I also wanted each one of you today to make up a promo for yourselves. Just run with it. Run with the creative freedom and do whatever you wanted to do. And I personally feel that you guys, you know, have grown, you know, tremendously over the last 3 months. And that some of the things that you guys have contributed, Emily wrote a blog a couple of weeks ago. And it was like one of our most successful ones. Tanner and Kim wrote a couple, you know, really good ones. Tanner wrote one about the quarterbacks and tied it into dating and unhealthy relationships and things like that. So it was like, and Logan had a TikTok that just went to 3,000 views in two hours. And it was just like, I was like, wow, that just skyrocketed.
But with that being said, and it's all great work, there is one thing that's left. And it doesn't, you guys have not co-hosted a show. Other than Tanner being on, Emily hasn't come on, Logan hasn't, Kimberly. So we gotta get you guys on to at least co-host a show or do a segment in the next 25 episodes to get your thoughts on what's going on in sports or a team or whatever. We want to get you to come on and get comfortable behind the mic and doing all that. What do you think?
I like
that. There we go.
You guys can get me in.
I'm in.
All right, Mike, we got to figure it out. We got to schedule some time over there. We got to get them on after we do one of our interviews or get a segment and go from there.
Well, we got a resident hockey expert.
Yeah, we got a resident hockey expert. Although we haven't heard much hockey in about a month. But all right.
Yeah. Well, hey, how are your Colorado Avalanche doing?
Yeah, how are the Avalanche doing? Yeah.
They're top of the league. So anytime you guys want to talk about it, hit me up. We'll talk about it for hours.
Well, you picked them in the beginning. So,
yeah.
You know, it's looking like it's coming to fruition a little bit.
It is. I was worried at the beginning of the year, but it's they're looking pretty good right now. They're on COVID protocol right now. So they've had some games postponed this last week, but they're still holding the top spot in the league and they're looking good.
And Emily and Kim, what's going on in Michigan? Any good stuff with the Pistons or the Tigers or any good news out there?
The Tigers aren't doing bad, and they're at the Toledo Mud Hens right now for spring training, so that's kind of cool. I actually got to go see the facility the other day, so it was like I was in the same place, but they weren't there. So, it was
and Kim's at Pace, but you're a Yankee fan, right? And who else?
Yeah, Yankee. I'm actually, like I said, more college sports, and unfortunately, I know Emily goes to Michigan, but I'm a big Ohio State fan. I like them growing up.
Oh, all right.
We don't have to talk about their college basketball team.
We got to get you guys back on when it's Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Hey, what? Look, obviously you got a Mets fan host and a Yankee fan co-host, and yeah, and we get along just fine, and everyone's able to work together regardless of, you know, the bitter rivalries that are associated with each other, because it's sports at the end of the day. That's really what brings us together there.
And we got Logan there, who's got the DeGrom shirt. Poor DeGrom throws like 8 innings of 10 Ks and can't get a run.
14 Ks.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Let's just add more fuel to that fire. It's 14 Ks, and the guy, how many Ks does he have all year? Like, it's just.
I think it might be over 30.
Yeah, I think it is too. And the guy's 1-1 with a 0.45 ERA and like a 400 on base percentage. And the guy cannot get run support to save his life. At least the Mets were able to take 2 out of 3 from the Colorado Rockies thing. Thanks for that, yep. Tanner.
The Rockies, not awesome start to the year.
No, they're ranked 30th on the power rankings on Bleacher Report right now.
Yeah, not stoked. Every time I look at the scores, they're losing, and it's tough. I don't know what the deal is.
So I got to ask, because this is the question I always ask towards the end of every segment. Where do you guys see yourselves in the future? So obviously Toledo Mudheads, we got internships, we got a lot going on. So where do you guys see yourself going in the world of sports and sports business? Whoever wants to take it. But like I always ask, where do you see yourself 5-10 years from now? Who wants to go first? Anybody?
I'll go first. Yeah. 10 years from now, I hope to be the marketing manager of the LA Dodgers. That's my
I like
plan.
That.
Okay.
Didn't we have someone from the Dodgers, Mike? Didn't we have
Yes. Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, maybe we could there. Maybe we can.
Yeah, and he was.
That's what he was. Yeah.
VP of marketing, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe we connect them.
We could try and make an intro there and get that ball rolling.
That'd be awesome. That's my plan.
They're 14-4 right now. They're just like on fire at this point. And you know what? And in 10 years, they're still gonna have Mookie Betts.
Yeah. All right. Kimberly, you want to go?
Yeah. Yeah, so I actually want to do sports PR. I want to be I want to do public relations and be able to like do press releases, that kind of stuff, run like the behind the scenes of teams.
God, did we? I'm trying to think who we had on that's a PR person. I can't.
We've had a few.
Yeah,
we've had a few. Even like Ben. Yeah, and I think he's what is he at now? Fox Sports now.
Yeah, Fox Sports.
Yeah, no, we've definitely had our fair share of people in those roles. So for sure, definitely want to stay in touch and help you guys out with any intros and letters of recommendation and whatnot. Whatever you guys need, you know, you've supported us this whole time, and we're looking to give back as much as we can as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tanner Logan.
I'm looking to hopefully work at some type of like ESPN, or I even was looking into jobs at SNY, working for their marketing team. They're not hiring right now, but anything like ESPN marketing related, I know their company is huge. There's a lot of different areas I can go into, but somewhere in a big corporation like that.
Okay. And Mr. Johnson.
I'm a big graphics guy. That's really what I found myself getting into here, especially in the last 3 years or so. And so I think the biggest thing for me that I think would be the ultimate goal is to work with other companies who are either startup companies in the sports realm or who are more established in the sports realm, and kind of I've been doing a lot of freelance work with a bunch of different companies. And I think that working with those types of companies and just continuing to help build brand recognition through graphic related digital concepts. And I find that the easiest graphics that come to me are really sports related graphics. It's just something that flows. The movement of the entire graphic, I completely understand more than any other aspect of branding, advertising, in any other market. And so that's really what I kind of want to get into, was just continuing to build clientele and continuing to build a resume with more and more sports related clients and try and help the best that I can in any type of branding and advertising realm that I can be a part of. So that's really my goal here in the next couple of years, and we'll see where that takes me.
Yeah. And obviously you got a great eye, and I've come to you a couple of times with even my own designs of like, what do you think about this? But why don't you tell everybody out there, because you're starting this freelance design business, tell them where they can find it, and tell them about Avanti too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So basically I would say in the past about year and a half, I've kind of been progressing my graphics and basically all the digital media content, web design and social media related content and kind of built it into a freelance digital media company called Peak Design Media. And so basically what we do, there's me and a couple of people that are kind of involved in the company. And basically what we do is we help small companies and startups just like you guys with their branding and advertising. And we do it at a much more cost efficient way than most other freelance companies. And we've been gaining a lot of traction this year and a half, and it's been super fun and super awesome. And so really my next goal is to kind of build more clientele in the sports related field. I think that we've been moving in a lot of different markets here recently. And I think that working with you guys has been an outstanding opportunity and a great thing to be able to put our on our personal portfolio. And so I think that just continuing to build out of that is going to be great. And yeah, so that's been my most recent endeavor. And then in the past about 2 years, I've also just been doing just more because I've had, like I had talked about with skiing and stuff, that's been a love since I literally can't even remember the first time I went skiing. Like I was so young. And so that's been such a deep rooted part of me being from where I'm from as well, that I found a kind of a new niche that's coming out of both the coasts. I mean, it's like basically micro branding. And so basically what we've kind of started is a sustainably sourced, basically mountain outerwear company. And I've got a couple of people work with me with that as well. And we're doing a bunch of rebranding right now to kind of relaunch it here this summer, but hoping to have just multiple streams of income, multiple ways to kind of build the resume and kind of work in a position to where I'm hoping that I can get to a point where I can build myself up to a point where I can maybe sustain myself off of multiple streams of income through the businesses. So that's kind of my goal here in the coming future.
Hustling. Love it. And it's peakdesignmedia.com.
Yeah. Peakdesignmedia.com. Yep.
Perfect. So I guess before we wrap up, what is the one thing that you did not know prior to starting this internship that you have learned since?
I can go first. Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily technology-based learning anything new, but I think this is like my first real internship where I've had to like actually create content, push stuff out. And I think for me personally, it was, I think Tanner talked about it, how it was like laid back. We got to have creative freedom. We got to push out our own content. But there are times where you have to set deadlines for yourself. There was one time when I was on Twitter, I was like, I need to do this many comments. Because once you start falling a day behind, then there's no content out and it kind of looks, oh, now we have to go back. So I think just setting personal deadlines, like you have to be on top of yourself a lot because someone isn't always going to be on top of you. And then before it's not going to, there's just going to be no content. So I think that's one thing I learned is just like kind of pushing yourself and being hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. So for me, I had never used Suite or Later in like my previous experience. So that was pretty cool that we could plan out once we had a piece of content, we could schedule it a couple days or even a week in advance and to publish that content. And you wouldn't have to worry about it once you set the date. And I thought that was really cool. And then you could keep on work on within the website. You could see the trends. You could see like how much interaction there is, how many likes, the hashtags and all that stuff. So that was cool. I learned that. And then most importantly, I learned about through the $1.80 platform that interacting with other pages really helps to drive engagement. Because if I like your page, will you like mine? If I like follow for follow type deal. And I think that plays a huge role in growing any startup.
Yeah. And honestly, you've been doing a tremendous job with that because we've been growing steadily over the last, you know, few weeks with the $1.80. And it's really about how are people going to find you or join your conversation when you're not engaging in their conversation. So it has to go tit for tat, and you have to both engage with each other, and that's how they're going to learn who playing the field is. Tanner, Emily?
Yeah, so the thing that I learned is, it kind of piggybacks off of the freedom, is that we did have the freedom, but I did not know how hard it would be to reach our target audience. Like, it was, you could post something in 5 different ways and it would not be as effective as posting it in this way. And so it's like finding the balance of all of that was really something that was hard to find. But once you did it, it felt so rewarding. So it's like you're posting all these things and they're funny, but people aren't looking for funny with this. Instead, they wanted to be more like factual. And so it's just finding ways to frame things to engage the target audience that really helped me with what I learned in this internship.
Awesome.
It's basically for me, it's basically the same thing that Emily said. It's just the algorithm dynamics were just wildly interesting to me, especially TikTok. Me and Mike would talk about it all the time. It is just wild to me how some videos would completely take off and other videos would just bust. And it never, even to this day, it doesn't make sense. Yeah,
sometimes.
It doesn't quite make sense to me. And I think with these newer apps that are coming out, I think the algorithms are working a little bit differently than the older ones. Instagram and Twitter, I think, are more generalized to where you are targeting a specific target audience. And if you are consistently posting enough, I think you'll finally reach that audience. Whereas you get into these newer platforms, and I'm sure that more and more are going to continue to pop up, I think that the algorithms that work within those are a little bit different. And I think that we found this out running our own posts, is that it's more inclusive to all audiences. It's more inclusive to the people who don't have as much of a following. And I think that's really a great thing, because it gives small companies or small influencers an opportunity to get their say out there as well. Whereas with Instagram and more of those older platforms, it's a little bit harder. You got to have a little bit more of a following. And so I really found that to be the most interesting, because I would say that I was the least familiar with TikTok. And so just involving myself in that and really pushing myself to kind of figure out what was working and what wasn't was wildly interesting to me. So.
Awesome. And I guess one more quick one from me. Well, we're going to look into getting another team of interns in the coming months. What's that one piece of advice that you would give somebody that is using this as like really their entrance into this sports or sports marketing world?
I can go first with that. So the main piece of advice that I would give them coming into this internship is to set deadlines for themselves. Create a schedule. Stick to the schedule, because with your amount of freedom that you offer, it can open up so much creativity, but it can also bring in an essence of pushing it off to the back burner. So you really get out of this internship what you put in. So I think that the most important thing is to put in your effort, and then you will watch how it all grows together.
That's great. Great advice.
Well said. Well, listen, guys, thank you for everything. You guys are incredible. The talent, the creativity is incredible. And like, I'm being dead serious, I would love to co-host a show with each and every one of you, if we could make it happen, get you guys on the show. And if there's anybody we can put you in contact with that we've interviewed, just let us know. Well, it's a done deal. So thank you for everything.
Yeah, we got quite the Rolodex growing here.
The other thing I was impressed with is the blogs. You guys are great writers. Emily, Kimberly, some of the stuff, Tanner, Logan, you guys are good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
No, absolutely. And you know what? Big shout out to Logan, because he helped me a lot at a pitch a couple of weeks ago. And he pretty much, we went from a sports dating, a niche dating app around sports. And he's like, it's just get rid of that. And he came up with sports themed matchmaking. And it's kind of sticking now. So thank you for that, Logan. And obviously, Emily, that blog was just amazing. And all the stuff that you've put out there on Twitter, you did a lot of good stuff there. And you kept pushing it out there. Kim, you were doing a great job with Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. You had a couple of really good videos. And you were staying consistent, which was great. And that's really the key for TikTok. And Tanner, thank you for being that really that extra set of eyes and helping us with a couple of different templates and reworking that old fans in the stand logo that was like our first iteration of playing the field, and just revamping it to really embody Fan Experience TV. Right now, everyone, you can share with the audience like where they could find you if they want to. If they want to contact you, do you have a portfolio site, your LinkedIn's? Just this is your time to just plug yourselves and go for it.
Okay. Well,
I'll go first. We basically already talked about me. Peak Design Media is the portfolio website. That's my contact information, everything that you can find. As far as where I'm at is on there. So if you want to get a hold of me, that's where you find me.
You can find me on my LinkedIn. My name is Emily Cousineau. I have my portfolio on there. It has my resume. It tells you everything about me. If you want to give it a look, go ahead and we can chat from there.
Yes. LA Dodgers. That's how you find her.
Yeah, my stuff's also on LinkedIn. My resume, my portfolio, all my job experience, it's all on LinkedIn. It's Kimberly Shira, and that's kind of me.
All right.
Yeah, LinkedIn's the best professional way to reach me, and my email, all my contact information is on that website.
Awesome. Well, it was an absolute pleasure having each one of you on. Rick, did you have any before we sign?
No, I mean, okay. For those of you watching, you want talent, you want creativity, you want people to get the job done. Emily, Logan, Kimberly, and Tanner have been a real pleasure to work with, and they would be a great asset to your company, startup, or whatever, or even team, organization. Please feel free to reach out to them if you want to reach out to us, if you want to connect with them. They're great, and you can ask. Just, they're incredible. I don't know what to say. I'm still, every time I get a text from Mike about something you guys do, I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, this is great.
So, no, 100%. I echo every single thing that Rick just said. But yeah, thank you. Thank you all for all your tremendous help and support throughout this all. And we wish you all the best of luck in your future. And obviously, we want to stay in touch and help you out any way that we possibly can. And we're going to be co-hosting at some point or another as well.
We are co-hosting.
Maybe a Michigan State, University of Michigan and Ohio State game. We'll have something going down.
We'll do a little Yankees Mets. Logan.
Yeah, maybe a little Yankees. Maybe in September.
I guess when somebody from
Colorado Avalanche are playing in the Stanley Cup. Yeah, that's the perfect time to get Tanner back in
here. Yep, call me up. We'll have a nice long conversation about that.
And you got a client already in Peak Design Media, because the connection is never going to stop with any of you. So thank you very much for everything. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah,
yep, thank you guys.
Yeah, well, thank you guys.
Thanks. It's been a blast, guys.
It has.
Yep. Have a good night, guys. Absolutely. And happy birthday again, Logan. Enjoy the rest of the
happy 420.
What are you, by the way? 22. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, enjoy. And everybody, thank you so much. Have a great night.
You guys as well.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I didn't know. Like, I just got to know, but I'm going to miss him.
It's very bittersweet.
It is
definitely bittersweet.
They're gonna co-host. Like, we gotta get a co-host to show.
But yeah, I'm glad that they were able to take a lot out of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This internship, and that was really the key. I wanted them to get a lot out of it. I wanted them to learn, and I wanted them to use that what they're learning to propel them forward in their careers. And it's been an absolute pleasure working with them. Everyone has been super professional but super creative on different things that they have done. And it was a learning process for me too, because this was like the first time I hired a team of interns. So I learned a lot from it as well. So all in all, it was awesome. And definitely want to stay in touch with each and every one.
By the way, the Knicks have just won their 7th in a row. Let's go, Knicks. The OB jersey is staying on for another game.
Oh, the Yankees won.
They actually won?
3-1.
Wow. All right.
The Cubs are winning 3-1 in the 6th. The Cubs are winning
3-1. Logan is not happy.
Well, I'm not. Well, whatever. It is what it is. I mean, you can't really. Yeah, the Yankees won a game. Look at this.
I forgot to touch on this. I guess we can touch a quick news and notes. Jake Paul knocked out Ben Askren. Not sure if you saw that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did. I didn't watch it, but yeah, I saw
it wasn't much Twitter, to watch.
The Twitter world to take off on that one.
There wasn't much to watch. Ben Askren walked in out of shape and overweight. Jake Paul walked in, jab, straight right hand, and he went to sleep. That's pretty much what happened. It was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody wants to fight him. Now everybody's like, all right, he's knocked out a couple of guys. Now it's time to step up. And now everybody wants to fight the guy. So listen, he's knocking people talking boxing. He's knocking people out. So.
Yeah, well, hey, he put his money where his mouth was.
Yeah, he's listening. He's certainly doing that. In the world of soccer, they were going to start a Super League in Europe. And it quickly faded after all these leagues and everybody was all upset that they were going to have just like this super league and nobody else was going to make money. And it was, it just turned into a disaster. So that's that. All six English teams now exiting the Super League after the blowback. It was terrible.
Yeah. I got a lot of NFL teams not wanting to do workouts and stuff.
I saw that. I don't know what the point. I just don't get. I guess they like the remote working. I don't know what the. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well, we found out that our good friend Christian Angulo, he's on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for this upcoming season in the Canadian Football League. So best of luck to him over there. Alex Smith has retired, and he is walking away from the game of football, and he's going to enjoy his life with his, you know, with his family. And you know what? He came back after a horrendous leg injury with infections and just everything.
How many surgeries did he have?
And the video that he put up there was like, it was a little heartwarming.
Didn't he have 17 surgeries or something like that?
Yeah, it was something unbelievable. And there was a time where they didn't think he was going to walk. And I think one physical therapist in the video that he posted, he said somebody gave him a football. And it was like this just like unbelievable force that helped him, I guess, just mentally recover from all the traumatic pain in his leg. And he just put himself in a different mindset.
Yeah.
And then he ended up coming back and playing professional football again and doing what he loved. And now he's hanging him up, and rightfully so. He did what he did and he had a great career. And we wish him nothing but the best in his retirement.
And yeah, his wife had the rods that he had in certain his, like, his wife made a Lombardi trophy out of that. I don't know if you saw that.
Really? No, I didn't see that. No.
So good for him. Look, he gets out with his health. He's pretty wealthy for the most part. They didn't have to amputate his leg. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself is a big win.
Yeah. So good for him. And what else, whatever he's going to do with the rest of his life. On what else is going on in the NBA or in the rest of the sports world?
We'll talk a little bit more about the draft as we get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Because
I think there's one more trade out there.
We got 9 days. 9 days.
Nine days until the NFL draft.
We'll be almost wrapped up with round one at this point, 9 days from now.
Yeah. I guess I will be buying my Zach Wilson jersey on Saturday, next Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
there you go.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I guess there's only one thing left to do for everyone out there.
Yeah.
Go smoke it up, whatever you want to do for the rest of 420 edibles. And obviously New York and many other states at this point, it's legal. Enjoy. If you partake in that, by all means, go enjoy yourself.
It's legal.
Yeah. Go enjoy. And we will be back here on Thursday night. This was a great kickoff to the fourth quarter of these first 100 episodes, 76 episodes in. 77 to come on Thursday, and we are looking forward to it. We have the CEO of Gifts Out Loud, Miss China Morgan, joining the show on Thursday night.
Awesome.
Until then, have a wonderful night, everybody.